my little boy. Let's pray together. Lord, truth be told, none of us deserve a life of abundance and the gift of life. And yet here we are. We acknowledge our absolute dependency upon you, Father God. Our next heartbeat is only possible because of your spoken word and because you love us. None of us are guaranteed that we will even see tomorrow, but we're so grateful for the here and the now. We thank you, Lord, for your presence in this place. We acknowledge our dependency upon you. Holy Spirit, the last thing we need to hear is a message from another man, some preek, some sermon. What we need, Lord God, is a word from you. Holy Spirit, would you teach us this morning in the name of Jesus? Would you show us a facet of the heart of God that we've not known before and not seen before? Would we understand the Father heart of God like we've never understood it before? Help us to see Jesus like we've never seen him before because our time of fellowship this morning. Give us revelation and understanding from your word, Lord God. As we invite you into our lives, Father, we ask that you speak to us. We want to hear. We want to change. We want to know you more, Lord God, and become more like Jesus because of our fellowship here this morning. I thank you for every family represented. I thank you for every individual. I pray, Spirit of God, that your will be done here on earth in this place now as it is in heaven. In the name of Jesus Christ, we thank you for the privilege of being able to come and sit with you at the table that you've prepared before us, Lord God. Thank you that we can visit with you, Lord God, and that you can impart your heart to us as your sons and your daughters. And all God's people said, amen. Hallelujah. Turn to three people around you and just give them a high five. That's all. Don't say anything. Just give them a high five. If you got your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew chapter 5. This is week 7 of our sermon series, How to Live the Blessed Life. And we've been studying Jesus' idea of what it means to be happy. The sermon series is called How to Live the Blessed Life. And we said that we can take the word, is it 8th? Renee says it's 8th. I apologize, it's 8th sermon on this. Hallelujah. I'm enjoying this, and you? For those of you that aren't, I apologize. Just pray for me that I just preach a better message that you can actually start enjoying it then. And it's Jesus' way of saying, guys, if you want to be happy, this is what you need to do. We've said before that we can replace the word blessed with happy. So reading our theme passage or our topic passage, Matthew chapter 5 from the New King James Version, reads as follows from verse 3. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. This week, verse 9, blessed are the peacemakers. Everybody say peacemakers. For they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. We thank you for this, Lord, in Jesus' name. I'm excited to speak about peacemakers this morning. Just to recap where we ended off 2 weeks ago, I think, before the National Rally, we spoke about blessed are those who are pure in heart. We decided, what does it mean to have a pure heart? And we said that having a pure heart means that you desire the things that God desires. That means you have a pure heart. It's one thing putting up a Christian front and doing all the Christian things and speaking Christianese, and they ask you, how's it going? You say, hallelujah, brother, hallelujah, sister. But inside your heart, you actually want to live differently. It's one thing being exposed to the the requirements or the concepts of Jesus' teaching, where he says, love your enemy, do good to those who persecute you, turn the other cheek, all those things. It's one thing being taught that, but here in your heart, you actually want something else. Because God always looks at the condition of the heart. So we saw that having a pure heart means desiring the things that God desires, including honoring him with your temple. We also looked at the very exciting, very controversial, very interesting topic of the use and abuse of alcohol. How many of you remember that? How many of you are still wallowing in the wake of that message? I had some interesting conversations with people about that, but that was 2 weeks ago. I encourage you to get the recording of that and you just meditate on that and see what God says to your heart concerning that. This week, we're looking at blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. It says peacemakers, not peace lovers. I've yet to meet somebody that really, really doesn't love peace. Even kind of people. And blow people and things up. Even they do that because they have a hope and expectation of some kind of peace. I've yet to meet somebody that really, really, really doesn't love peace. But the scripture says, it doesn't say blessed are the peace lovers. It says blessed are the peace makers. Now everybody wants peace. But there's a much smaller group of people that actually go out of their way to make peace. Blessed are the peace makers, for they shall be called the sons of God. What are some of the characteristics? We're going to look at just five this morning. Characteristics of a peacemaker. What makes for a peacemaker? Point number one, in no particular order, and this list is by no means exhaustive. It's just five concepts, five thoughts that we'd like to share with you this morning. A peacemaker will go out of their way to restore relationships. They'll go out of their way to restore relationships. In Proverbs 18 and verse 9, it says, a brother offended is harder to win than a strong city, and contentions are like the bars of a castle. Wie van julle het al ooit in die verlede aanstoot geneem? You took offense. The word offense means to take the bait. The devil puts a bait in front of you and says, that's it. And people say, you made me angry. Nobody can make you angry. People can do stuff which you then have a choice to get angry at. Nobody can make you angry. Nobody can make you angry. I know this story of this huge, big block of a man, a real strong guy. He's just naturally, brutally strong. And he's complaining to his Dumini. He says, Dumini, that woman of mine, she just forces me to drink. She's, bro. I know your wife. She's a small, little, petite woman. Look how big and strong you are. She can't force you to do anything. He says, Dumini, I'm telling you, this woman forces me to drink. He says, no ways. My brood, it werk nie so nie. You bigs, how can your wife force you to do this? He says, Dumini, ek sê jou. Hierdie vrou, sy forceer my om te drink. The Dumini says, okay, tell you what, I'll go and pay her a visit. I'll go and pay her a visit. So the Dumini goes and pays this guy's wife a visit, spends some time with her. And the Dumini and this guy get back together after a couple of days. And the big guy is curious and anxious as to how it went with the visit with the Dumini and his wife. So he says, Dumini, tell me, what do you think? Do you see now what I'm trying to say that my wife forces me to drink? What's your opinion about that? Dumini says, but pour me a drink. So we have a choice to take offense. We have a choice to take offense. And when I learned this concept for the first time, I challenged myself. I like to say, Galatians 2:20, it is no longer I who live, but Christ who live in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God. I've crucified them. Like we have died to sin, right? It's a nice concept. Till the very next time I got offended. Can you offend a dead person? So have I really died to self? Now you see, there's a thing inside of me called pride. You see, what gets me angry and offended? It's because I feel that you've done something wrong to me. There's something about me that shouldn't have been done wrong to. So I feel offended and hurt, and I choose to get offended. Now, sometimes it can be really hurtful and it can be really painful. When we were growing up, there was a saying that was taught us, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me. That's not true. Proverbs 18:21 says, death and life is in the power of the tongue. Words can hurt badly, people. Come on. Words can hurt. But I choose to take that offense. I choose. And it says here, an offended brother is harder to win than a fortified city. Iemand wat aanstoot geneem het. We do something wrong, and I tell people, they enter into what I call a honeymoon phase at this church. They come here and they experience it like Bikers Church is so different, and it's so cool, and you're so lekker, and this and this, and the band, and the, it's lekker. I say, stick around. All you need to do to get offended is just keep coming to church. Hello? Just keep coming to church. Somebody somewhere along the line is going to offend you on a day. And that's part of life. That's part of life. We need to learn to be able to accept those things and to grow past those things and to work with each other regardless. But then we carry those offenses in our heart. We choose to carry those offenses. You don't know what that did to me, Mozzie. You don't know what it's like. No, I don't, but God knows. And the scripture also says, a lot of teaching has taken place about don't accept offense, don't accept offense. But there's also scriptures that say, don't give offense. So you can't just like gaan on and Marx is what you smack and just think, oh well, you must get over it. You must be a Christian, just get over it. You must also not give offense. We're accountable to that as well. Can you say amen, church? So what is a peacemaker? A peacemaker goes out of their way to restore that relationship. Notice that it's not easy. It's not just, okay, I hurt you, I'm sorry, suck it up. Cupcake, where the Watkinses. Suck it up, cupcake. No, you go out of your way. You go out of your way to mend and restore that relationship. And it doesn't mean that the person's changed. It doesn't mean that they've even asked for forgiveness. But you're a peacemaker. You're a peacemaker. You go out of your way to make peace with that individual. All right? In Ephesians 4, 1 to 3, it says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you, that's the New King James way of saying, like, I'm asking, like, serious now, like, please, seriously, walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long suffering, bearing with one another, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. That's Ephesians 4, 1 to 3. Now, what I find fascinating about that is that the Apostle Paul, under the unction of the Holy Spirit, wrote this to the church. Listen to the kind of words that it requires or the things that the church would need. He's not talking to heathens, to Satanists, to atheists, to worldly people that are living flat out for the devil. He's talking to the church of Jesus Christ. He's talking to people like you and me. And he says this, in the church, we're going to need things like long-suffering. Really? Yes, in the church. We're going to need long-suffering to get on with each other. Yes, but we all love Jesus. Yes, we're going to need long-suffering with each other. How many of you are glad you came to church this morning? We're going to need long-suffering with each other. That's what he says here. We're going to have to bear with one another in love. It's just, oh, it's like, is it you again? I'm always glad to see people. Some I'm glad to see when they come and some I'm glad to see when they just go. Hallelujah. But we've got to bear with one another. This is the church. This is the body of Jesus Christ that we're talking about, people. Who can ons dan dink dat ons gaan nie issues optel in die liggaam van Christus? We can have issues amongst each other. You're not okay. And that's okay. I'm not okay. And that's okay. Let's just keep our eyes fixed on Jesus as we do this thing called life, shall we? Let's just fix our eyes on Jesus. Because as long as we start... If our happiness and our good feeling and our always depends on each other, man, we're going to disappoint each other time and time and time again. We're going to become despondent and discouraged with church. We're going to drift away. We're going to become lukewarm. We're going to backslide on our ear and the devil's going to have a field day with our lives. If we let each other get to each other. Bear with one another with love. Endeavoring means do every effort. It takes commitment and hard work and endeavor. Endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. In other words, it's not just going to happen because we love each other. Did you get that? It's not just going to be the bond of peace because we love each other. Why? First of all, because we're people and we have our issues, but also Satan is mighty. But God is almighty. We are involved in a real battle, ladies and gentlemen. It is a real battle for the well-being of your soul, body, and spirit, for your eternal well-being. There's a real enemy, and Satan does not like it when the body of Christ works as the body of Christ. And he'll do anything and everything to mess that up. And guess what? Sometimes he'll use the body of Christ against the body of Christ. That is why we need to endeavor. So a peacemaker makes every effort to restore relationships. That's a characteristic of a peacemaker. Second characteristic. This person, we're going to get to the second one. This person doesn't shy away from conflict. How many of us shy away from conflict? No. I'd rather just leave things be. I'm offended. You said this or you hurt it. So you'd rather just like avoid the situation. Instead of growing up like a mature son and daughter of God and saying, you know what, I don't have the answer, but my brother, my sister, how can we fix this? How can we fix this? So we'd rather just avoid conflict than it. Here's the deal. What you don't deal with will eventually deal with you. Deal with it. Deal with it. Go out of your way. This person, this peacemaker, doesn't shy away from conflict. Constructive conflict. Can you say amen? These are the kind of things that make for a peacemaker. I included this scripture last in my preparation. I realized, folks, it's one little verse, but it sums up so much of what we want to speak about today. It's from Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 3. And I'm going to read it out of three different translations because every time it's read like that, it just brings something else and not adds something to it, but just paints the picture a little bit clearer. It's Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. It says, keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. What causes a disruption in the peace? It's when people's hearts get hurt and offended and broken and that kind of stuff, isn't it? It's all to do with here. It has been scientifically proven that there's more neurological, electrical activity in the heart than there is in the brain. For so many years, modern medicine has focused on electrical impulses and the synapses of the nerves, endings, etc. in the brain. Well, it's been proven that there's more going on in the heart. That is why the words used in Scripture speaks about the heart, the heart, the heart, the heart. And not this physical little blood pump over here, but the essence of who we are as people. It says, guard your heart. Why must you guard it? Protect it. Protect it against things getting in that will disrupt the peace. Guard your heart. And I think what would serve a lot of Christians well is if we're less sensitive. As ons minder gevoelig is, fyn gevoelig. People can say the slightest little thing. I get my knickers in a knot and I have a little hissy fit. And I pump my lips up to 20 bar. Because you've done something to me. Man, just, yeah, what she said. Get over it. If we can just toughen up emotionally, just toughen up emotionally. I find this so, man, if you've been married for more than 6 hours, 6 days, let's stretch it a bit, you'll understand this. There's 1 minute where I feel like I'm God's gift to the planet. I feel like such an anointed man of God. I do raising from the dead without even trying. And then minutes, seconds later, Colette does something. And I'm vip my name. I get. I'm just taking this thing on. I get up. I get upset. I choose to get angry at something that she does. Like, really? Really? So 1 minute I can be like so into God and feel the Spirit of God upon my life so like a, and then seconds later, she can do something, nothing wrong in her eyes. And then I choose to get upset and offended. Like, really, Mozzie? Like, grow up, man. Just grow up. Be a man of God, man. And just toughen up to stuff like that. Hallelujah. Richard taught me this thing so beautifully. The way he described that, the Apostle Paul was bulletproof. Bulletproof. They could say what they wanted about him. They could do what they wanted. It's like, bring it on, man. Because greater is Jesus who's in me than he that's in the world. 1 John 4:4. We should be like that. He said, you hurt me. You offended me. What you said is just not nice. Really?
Really? Look what they accused Jesus of. Look what they did to him. And he just parked off there. Quiet. Quiet. I wish we could be like that. Hallelujah. So guard your heart with all diligence, it says. The Message paraphrase is, keep vigilant watch over your heart. That's where life starts. Keep vigilant watch over your heart. How do you watch your heart? Say, listen, I'll make a decision today. You know what? Words can kill, but I'm not going to let it get to me in the name of Jesus. People are going to say things. I'm not going to let it get to me. I choose today to, Lord, I don't know how to do this, and I don't have the ability how to do this, but Holy Spirit, you're going to empower me that no matter what whoever does to me today, I'm going to do my best to act in the opposite spirit with love. Make that commitment. And I'm going to say this respectfully. You watch God come to the party and enable you to do that. You watch Him. If that's the desire of your heart, say, God, you know what, this person, but you love me, so help me to love them. No matter what they do or say, I'm going to respond in love. That's what it means to guard your heart. Protect your heart against picking up offense, little things like this that people do. Because when we let that stuff creep in people, the devil's going to rob you blind of your peace, China. He's going to take your peace. He's going to take your peace. And the NLT says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Wow. It determines the course of your life. So in other words, what I let get in here and what I let affect this, either positively or negatively, is going to determine the course of my life. So if the course that you're on is a little bit not so lekker, ask yourself, myself, what's going on here? That's the first characteristic, and we're on 22 minutes. Lord Jesus, help me. Second characteristic of a peacemaker. A peacemaker always has the kingdom of God in mind when dealing with relationships. Always has the kingdom of God in mind when dealing with relationships. When we say the kingdom of God, we know that it doesn't mean heaven. Hello. I want to just set the record straight. When me as Mozzie says kingdom of God, I'm referring to righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost, unless I state otherwise. Okay, let's do that. Because so many ministers and people focus on the kingdom of God as heaven, where Jesus, all these parables, and he taught his disciples to speak about the kingdom of God here on earth, which is Romans 14:17, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. So, a peacemaker is somebody who always has the kingdom of God in mind when dealing in relationships. The relationships that we have and that we pursue, the relationships that we allow to develop in our lives, are they conducive to the growth of the kingdom of God in your life? Think about that a little bit. You see, by nature of what I do and what God has called me to do, it's kind of a busy lifestyle. So to be honest with you, I can't really make time to pursue relationships with people that I realize it's not actually going to enhance or advance the kingdom in their heart, my heart, or in other people's lives. I'm being honest with you. There's no time for that anymore because Jesus is on his way. I can't just pursue relationships because, hey, lekker, my buddy, macha, my bra, whatever, my chay, for the sake of that. This relationship that I'm pursuing, is it with the kingdom of God in mind? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Is it going to establish the kingdom of God in my heart, their heart, or in other people's lives? If not, I say this enough, but I'm not going to pursue that relationship. I'm not going to pursue that relationship. And it sounds harsh, doesn't it? It sounds like, yes, see, Mozzie, you should get that book by Dale Carnegie called How to Make Friends and Influence People, because that's an unfriendly attitude. Really? Sometimes relationships that you think are so cool, it's a distraction. Listen to what God is saying, church, a distraction. It's going to distract you in your walk with God. Yeah, but he or she is so nice. Really? But is it conducive to the building of kingdom of God in your life? If not, I submit that that relationship is going to be a distraction to you. So a peacemaker is somebody who works with relationships with the kingdom of God in mind. Can you say amen? It's interesting to note that Jesus says in this verse 9 of Matthew 5, it's the only other place in the Bible in this context where it says the sons of God are like this. In Romans 8 verse 14, I believe it is. Yeah. It says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And he says of this, peacemakers will be called the sons of God. Peacemakers will be called the sons of God.
Characteristic number three. A peace, this I love. This was wow. When God dropped this in my heart, it's like, jeez, Lord, help us with this one. A peacemaker has peace within before being able to share peace with others. You see, you cannot talk peace to a man who has war in his heart. You cannot talk restoration to a person who has war in their heart. Leonie the other day taught me this thing. We're dealing with a church-related issue. And she said, Mozzie, as mense 'n hond wil slaan, gaan hulle altyd 'n stok kry. What's the concept? If people want contentions and want strife and want that, they'll always find something to find fault with somebody somewhere along the line. Nothing will be good enough always because they are contentious here. In here, there's no peace. You come across people like this, you wonder, why are they so norse? Why are they so miserable? The only difference between them and a battery is that a battery's got a positive side. And they're also full of acid. Why are they like that? I submit to you, number one, first of all, they don't love themselves. Have you dealt with somebody like that? They don't love themselves. They don't love who they are. They're not pleased with where they are at in life, how they look, how they talk, what they've got, what they own, what they drive, where they live. They did nothing about themselves that they love. And then you expect them to love other people. It ain't going to happen, folks. So a characteristic of a peacemaker is somebody who has peace within. How do you get peace within? Take peace and put it in. No. Here's how you do this. Here's how you do this. To have peace within, it's the man, the woman, or the child of God that you, it means knowing that you're redeemed. Your past is dealt with. How many of us allow ourselves to be haunted by the mistakes and the sins of the past? God has forgiven you then already. And every now and again, you, and it's not even the devil, it's you. Let's leave him aside. He's off duty for now. He's taking a nap. It's you. You condemn yourself. You judge. You criticize all the time. Yeah, but if only I'd never done this. And if only I'd never done that. And we'll look at this now. And you're judging yourself again and again and again where Jesus has forgiven you. I said Jesus has forgiven you. God is the God who forgets what he's forgiven us of. The scripture says he forgets the things he's forgiven us of. Amen. How beautiful is that? Imagine going before God and say, Lord, remember when I was 8, I done this? And he's like, no. Yeah, but remember when I was 13 and we got up to, he's like, no. Yeah, but sure, you remember when I was 16 and he's like, no. How's that? That's so cool. That's this God. He forgets the things he's forgiven us of. Whoa. And what do? We remind ourselves. You ain't going to have peace within if you remind yourself. So a peacemaker like this, you understand that you're redeemed, that you're justified. What does it mean? Justified means you qualify. You are good enough. I'm trying to use language that we understand. You are okay with God. Why? Because he took him who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, to become sin for us. Few Christians understand this. Few Christians understand. We just think Jesus paid the price and he took our sin upon him. No. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, he became sin. Church, do you understand that? He became sin. He became sin. And God punished that which was hanging on the cross. Your sins, your many, many sins, and my few. Come on, man. That's why Jesus said, my God, why have you forsaken me? Because in that moment, he became sin. And Habakkuk 1:13 says, you have purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look upon wickedness. God had to turn his back because Jesus became sin. And when you understand that here and you let it sink to here, man, that's when you get peace within. My past is dealt with. I have freedom for the present and my future is secure. I have peace. And I thought, peace, bro. I have peace. All hell can break loose around me. I have peace within. That's a peacemaker. That's a peacemaker. If you don't have that, and then the second criteria of that person is this, of this point number two is, I think we're point number three now, yeah. Right? Is that you understand who you are in Christ Jesus. If I ask you this morning, who are you? What will you say? Think about it. Who are you? Who the hell do you think you are? Not too bad, eh? Who the hell do you think you are? Well, I'm a son of the Most High God. I'm seated with Christ Jesus in heavenly places. Isn't he, Sweeney Pete? Hey, that's who I am. Am I perfect? No, but His grace is there for me. I'm a son of the Most High God. Oh, that must empower you. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You're not what your school teacher said. You're not what your parents have said. You're not what your colleagues said. You're a daughter of the Most High God. You're not what your husband or your wife says you are when you're having intense fellowship. When civil war is breaking out in the home. Yeah, but you're a toot-toot-toot-toot, and you said, I nearly said, you might be acting like that, but the truth is, you're a son and a daughter of God. If you are a son and a daughter of God, you might be acting like a jerk then, but the truth is, you're a son and a daughter of God. Folks, when you understand that, I'm a son and a daughter of the Most High God, you realize that you're redeemed and justified. You have peace. Then you can be a peacemaker. Then you can be a peacemaker. But if you don't love yourself, how are you going to make peace with other people? Learn to love yourself. And I'm not talking about vain, pride, vanity. Stand in front of the mirror. Yeah. Kiss me quick before I kiss myself. No, man, we must look in the mirror and say, because of Jesus. Jesus loves and accepts this image. Jesus loves and accepts this person. Jesus died for this person. Jesus loves this person I'm looking at in the mirror. Come on, man. That makes a peacemaker. Point number three. Are you learning something this morning, church? Okay. Point number four. A peacemaker engages the spiritual battle in the heavenly realm that makes peace in the natural realm. This person has a lifestyle of fervent intercession. I'm going to say that again. Not this is the person that comes to whatever prayer meeting to impress leadership or whatever. No, no, no. This person has a lifestyle of fervent intercession. A peacemaker engages the spiritual battle in the heavenly realm that makes for peace in the natural realm. This person has a lifestyle of fervent intercession. Qualifying scripture, 2 Corinthians 10, 3-6. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for putting down strongholds, casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. The NLT second edition sounds like this. We are human, but we don't wage war as humans do. We use God's mighty weapons, not worldly weapons, to knock down the strongholds of human reasoning and to destroy false arguments. We destroy every proud obstacle that keeps people from knowing God. Wow. Oh, someone get excited. We capture their rebellious thoughts and teach them to obey Christ. And after you've become fully obedient, we will punish everyone who remains disobedient. Now that's for another time. But a peacemaker engages this battle. Folks, to do that, I like to do this. It's seldom that people end up with me in the context of counseling, because that's how it should be. It should be, because every member is a minister. Can you say amen? But when an individual sits in front of me and their life is a mess, one of the first things I like to ask is, so tell me, how's your prayer life? No, but I read a daily devotion. I said, no. How's your prayer life? Yeah, but Mozzie, I do pray. I said, no. Tell me about your prayer life. Can you describe your prayer life? What can I possibly say that can make a difference in a person's life if they're not connecting with Jesus, who's the author and finisher and perfecter of life? You see, you've got to connect with Him face to face, reality, with a prayer life, not just the Hail Mary or the Our Father or the whatever. That's not a prayer life. A prayer life is you find life at the feet of the giver of life through intimate prayer, a lifestyle of prayer. A peacemaker is somebody who has a lifestyle of fervent intercession. If you're going through a challenge and a difficulty in your life right now, I want to ask you this. So, have you waited on God long enough? We sing that song, I want to be still. I want to be still. It's Psalm 46 and verse 10. Be still and know that He is God. Or is my prayer life like this? I come to God. God, here's my shopping list. This is what I want. This is what how I want You to give it to me. And why didn't I get it yesterday? And that's your prayer life. Really. Like really. Your prayer life can be like that. Lord, these are the desires of my heart. This is what I really, really want. He wants you to ask. So, Lord, this is the desires of my heart. But what do You say about that? And then wait for His answer. No, but you're breakfasting, you're texting, Lord, in Jesus' name. Burp in your couch, off to work, start the day. The world rushes in, the devil comes at you, and you've had prayer life. Really? Really? Now, you must be able to pray anywhere, everywhere, all the time. All the time. That's how the scripture says, pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, I believe it is, or 17. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. How can you do that? You've got to communicate with people. You can always be prayerful here while you're doing your daily business. I've said this before, prayer is more a case of being with someone than it is doing something. You're just being with Daddy. That's prayer. A peacemaker is somebody who has a life of fervent intercession. You address these spiritual issues there. I just feel to say this, that as it goes in the spiritual, so it goes in the natural. As it's going in the natural, so it's going in the spiritual. Have you waged war in the spiritual realm? Or are you just letting life happen to you? See? We win or lose the battle on our knees, ladies and gentlemen. We win or lose the battle on our knees. A peacemaker who's somebody engages the spiritual warfare. Engages the spiritual warfare, and that which makes for peace in the natural realm, you've got that settled in the spiritual realm. Can you say amen? So may God help us to understand that that's what a peacemaker does. You're not just going to have this, it's not just going to happen. You need to engage the spiritual warfare that we're engaged in. Consider what dedication and commitment to prayer this requires. Listen to this. I love this. I've got one more point to do in a few scriptures, and we're doing okay for time. Isaiah 62, 6 to 7, it says, I love this. Yo, I tell you folks, this scripture. Isaiah 62, 6 to 7. I have set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day and night. I remember years ago, it was Linda that shared this with me. She got a revelation on this, and guess what? I got the revelation. I've set watchmen on your walls, O Jerusalem. They shall never hold their peace day or night. You who make mention of the Lord, do not keep silent and give Him no rest till He establishes and till He makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. Now, this is God saying what He's done to protect His people Israel. Now, the principle of the watchman is this. A watchman, there'd be cities and there'd be walls. The walls are wide and big, and they place watchmen there. The watchman would literally do this. They'd watch. It's deep, eh? The watchman would watch. Wow. Did you get that? Some of you are wondering, huh? It's so simple, you don't get it. The watchman would watch. What they'd watch out for is they look as far into the distance as they can to see if on the horizon, in the heat of the day, there's like a mirage. You see, but what's that? There's a little bit of dust. They find out from the people, the telecommunications department in the city. Hey, have you guys got any news of the internet or cell phone that we're expecting visitors to the city from that direction? No. So then, what's that dust there? And they wonder, okay, is it perhaps an enemy that's coming? So what they do, they look out as far into the distance as possible to see if there's an enemy coming to attack the city, so that they could get themselves and the people in the city ready. That's what they do. So here's the concept. This thing of fervent intercession. Are you watching in the spirit for your heart, for your family, for your loved ones, for your church, for your chapter, for your cell, for the government? Are you watching? Are you watching And letting God show you the strategy and that which is which the devil is up to. You think we're fighting against flesh and blood, clothed in green, yellow, black overalls that call themselves the AN whatever. You think that's who we're fighting against? May God show you and help you to perceive in the spirit who and what it is we're actually fighting against. That's what a watchman does. And he says of these watchmen, listen to this. This speaks of desperate fervency. Man, I'm preaching a little bit long this morning. Are you okay with that? Just please, guys, hang in there. Hang in there. If you're tired, stand up. Get somebody behind you to rub your shoulders or something. We're nearly done. I'm going to land this thing now. And he says this in the message. I've posted watchmen on your walls day and night to keep at it. I love this. Keep at it. Praying. Calling out. Reminding God to remember. Reminding God to remember. They are to give him. Who? They are to give him, God. Give him no peace until he does what he says. You persist in prayer. God, these are your promises. I'm not yet seeing it, Lord. This is what your scripture says. I'm not yet seeing it. And you keep on, Lord. And you keep on. And you keep on. And you keep on. And you keep on. Give him no peace until he does what he says and what he has promised. That's what it is here. And he says, until he makes Jerusalem famous as a city of praise. That kind of fervent intercession. Or you say, Mozzie, I've prayed about this for 3 days and nothing's happened. Where's God? 3 days. I fasted. Oh. Really? We heard a testimony over the national rally that a guy, God told him, his wife was diagnosed with a terminal illness. God told him, clearly in the beginning, you're going to pray and intercede? Are you ready for this, church? Hold on to your seats. 11 years. 11 years, God will tell you, you're going to pray and intercede for your wife to get healed. 11 years long. How many of us have the metal to persist? I know I don't. I was like, what? Take her, Lord. Let her live with you anyway. Come on, she'd much rather be with Jesus than opgeskep with me here. Come on, man. Don't get religious and holy with me. Come on. 11 years. 11 years. And guess what? To the day, that man stood at his wife's bedside praying and interceding in the spirit all the time. And in the 11th year, sometime, boom, the healing came. I know another story of a guy. He witnessed his life. He came to know Christ. I don't know what. He died at 60-something. And there was no fruit of his ministry in the life of his family. Praying and interceding for his family all the time. His lost relatives that are dying and living for the devil and on their way to hell. This whole life, nothing happened. At his service, at his graveside, several families said yes to Jesus. Sure. Phew. It stirs my heart. And then I get tired and I'm praying and I think, yes, Lord, I saw the soak at the rally last year and nothing's changed. Lord, he came up and he said a rhyme here and he said yes to Jesus and he cried and he got a Bible or whatever. And where is he today? And I want to give in and I want to throw in the towel on people like that. Like, really, Mozzie? Really? Yo, man. Peacemakers are fervent intercessors. Fervent intercessors. That will not give God rest day and night. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm trusting you, Lord. I'm thanking you, Lord. That's a peacemaker. Can you say amen? The effective fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. James 5:16. The last point will be quick, I promise you. And we're not there yet. I want to focus on this prayer thing. I'm done. I really need to stop preaching now. Because if you can't get it said in half an hour, son, you're not going to get it said in 3 hours. So, effective fervent prayer of a righteous man. It says, confess your trespasses one to another. James 5:16. Effective uses the word, it uses the word fervent and it uses the word righteous. Confession means mutual accountability. Mutual accountability. So because I'm the pastor, nobody can speak into my life. Really? Then God must get another pastor. Mutual accountability is what the body of Christ teaches, what the word of God teaches in the body. Mutual accountability. We must make ourselves accountable to each other. Mutual accountability, then effective. What makes your prayer effective? Praying what's on God's heart. That's an effective prayer. You think because you pray in tongues, you've been effective. I tie my tie, you tie my tie, we all want to eat bow ties. Hyundai shundai. You think that's effective? No. Is it what's on God's heart that you're praying? Well, if the Spirit of God is praying through you, yes, that's a different story. But when we come with our whatever before God, am I praying what's on His heart? Only that prayer is effective.
Only that prayer is effective. Am I praying for things to be more comfortable around me so that my lifestyle is more lacquer? Or am I praying what's on God's heart? That's an effective prayer. What's on His heart? And then fervent. We've discussed that. And then righteous. In a place of right standing before God. Last point and then we're done. A peacemaker exercises and uses the mind of Christ to bring about peace and not mere human wisdom. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, the things that make for the lack of peace in our lives are not easy. Sometimes they're complicated. There's complicated difficulties that we're facing in South Africa at the moment. Real complicated things. How do you just waltz in there with human wisdom thinking that you're going to fix it because you've got a couple of degrees? No. Remember the challenge with Solomon. Solomon's confronted by two mothers, both claiming that the one kid belongs to them. Who would have thought, okay, cut the one kid up. Let's split the kid in half, and then you can both get half a kid, and then it's sharp. And the real mother said, no. It's my son. Let the child live. How did he get that wisdom? From God. From God. A peacemaker exercises the mind of Christ to bring peace in a situation. Not just onslim planner. Philippians 2 and verse 5, it says, let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ. What mind is it talking about? For the sake of time, go home and study Philippians 2, 1 to 4. That speaks about a type of mind of the way we think. And then it says, verse 5 says, now that which we've discussed in verse 1 to 4, let that be in your mind. Let your mind be like that. It says, we have the mind of, let this mind be in you. And then 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, the deep end can come up, please. 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 16, it says, who can know the Lord's thoughts? Who knows enough to teach Him? But we understand these things. We have the mind of Christ. So to recap quickly as we close off, Jesus said, blessed are the peacemakers, not the peace lover. A peacemaker is somebody who goes out of their way to restore relationships. A peacemaker is somebody who has the kingdom of God in mind when dealing with relationships. A peacemaker is somebody who has peace within and then can have peace without, share it with others. A peacemaker is somebody who actively engages the heavenly battle in the spiritual realm through fervent prayer and intercession. And then a peacemaker is somebody who exercises the mind of Christ in dealing with conflicting issues or difficult issues. As you're seated here this morning, would you say that you're a peacemaker? Or would you say that you're a peacemaker, a peace lover? I'm not sure where you're at and I'm not sure what the desire of your heart is, but God knows. My encouragement to you is this. We said that if you want to be happy, you need to just be like this person that Jesus describes in the Beatitudes. If you're not happy in your life right now, maybe it's because you love peace, but you're not willing to do anything about making the peace. And you want happiness in your life, you'd like God to enable you to be a peacemaker. And I say this, you cannot have peace until you know the Prince of Peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. You cannot have this peace unless you have Jesus. If there's no Jesus in your life, there'll be no peace. If you don't know Jesus, you won't know peace. But if you have Jesus, there'll be peace because He's the Prince of Peace. Isaiah 9 and verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government will be on His shoulder, and His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. My encouragement to you this morning, church, is that if there's no peace in your life, come to Jesus. Come to Jesus. He's the Prince of Peace. He'll set things right. He'll give you wisdom. He'll give you understanding. He'll make a way where there is no way. Would you stand together as we worship the Lord? I want to pray for us this morning. If there's